Whakarongo, mai nei ki te reo irirangi pōhoi. You're on the 95BFM Breakfast Show, and we are now speaking with Deputy Mayor of Tāmaki Makaurau, Desley Simpson. Welcome to the show, Desley. It's nice to have you on.
Oh, thank you very much. Good morning. Welcome to you too.
It's a busy time for Tāmaki Makaurau. There's quite a lot for us to talk about. Let's start with where we're at, particularly for the West Coast after the cyclone. There's been, a massive call to not visit the West, obviously. Mm. Emergency services only out there at the moment, and to give those communities a bit of privacy. But what type of support are we seeing heading out that way?
Look, if it's okay, Rachel, I'd just like to start by saying whilst we have still got a lot of problems in Auckland, I know I speak probably for all of Auckland when I say our hearts and araha go out to other parts of New Zealand, including the Hawke's Bay, who are continuing to feel the devastating effects of Cyclone Gabrielle. My message, I suppose, is our thoughts are with you all, especially for those who've lost their homes, property and loved ones. It's been pretty tough. And it looks a lot worse down there than it does from what's happened around Auckland. So I think that's really important, if you don't mind. But yes, we are still struggling out in Piha, Muriwai, Karikari and Tahina Bethels. It's an incredibly challenging environment out west. The ground is still very wet. There was about 360 mils, I think, of rain in 24 hours at Piha during Gabrielle. Slips are still a danger. Mm-hmm. We have probably 250 staff out there on the ground assessing buildings and helping. And today we have three locations, both for Muriwai, Piha and Karikari, where we have people on the ground helping locals between 9 and 5 with answers to any questions around welfare needs, financial support, insurance and the like. So that's Karikari Fire Station, Muriwai, it's the San Jean's Cafe, and at Piha, it's the Surf Life Saving Club. So, look, you're quite right. We are asking Aucklanders not to go out there. The roads are compromised. Water is compromised. Look, our water treatment plant that surfaces that area has been red stickered. That means that, we are very limited for our water. We're dropping water in out there. We've got a water tanker out there servicing that area. It's just real tough for those people who have been cut off for a number of days now. And look, that must be emotionally draining too.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not going to be, we're still sort of in this, as you said, the ground is still settling. There's still a lot of water out there as well. But we're still in, I guess, the assessment stage of what it's actually looking like. But are we starting to get an idea of how long this might be for those communities before there's anything that looks like some sort of quote-unquote normal coming back to them? When do we have any sort of timeline for them to start thinking about or to start, working towards?
Yeah, look, we haven't got that timeline. That's really a combination of the technical people who are out there assessing the land and going through and doing the stickering, for want of a better word. And that in itself is pretty awful. Across the region, we've got well over 7,000 assessments have been done on buildings after the cyclone, and on top of 500 from the January flood. So it's a lot. We've had about 2,300 either red or yellow stickers issued at both, across both events. And look, we've got a big rubbish problem too. We've already taken over 3,500 tons of waste to landfill. We've still got about 480 skip bins on streets. We sent 700 more post-flooding. It's still a big cleanup.
It is a big cleanup. And looking around the rest of the city, obviously West Auckland, very particular situation from the cyclones, but we're still seeing impacts from the flooding, a fortnight and a half ago now, and that is going to be another very long road to recovery. Do you know how many whānau are still waiting for placement in permanent or semi-permanent accommodation?
I know as of 1 p.m. yesterday, we had 104 people that were in our civil defence centres or community support hubs. That was That's the most recent number I've got. Now, there are, a lot of them are down. You know, those civil defence centres and community support hubs have reduced from the 27 we had, ready prior to Cyclone Gabriel. So the ones that we have open, I mean, most of them are probably looking at closing today, and emergency housing providers and, you know, from a central government perspective, are working with those people to get them into housing, you know, as soon as possible.
And what's that? I mean, I know I'm asking timelines and we're still not really sure about a lot at the moment, but I want to know, you know, these families are in really vulnerable positions. Is there any sort of certainty about that particular timeline when we can see, you know, all of these folks who've been displaced in some sort of homing or accommodation for at least the meantime?
Look, we are, as I said, we're working with the central government agencies. That's not our, you know, we work closely with them, but we can, you know, we're doing our best. I think everyone's doing their best to try and get them in. I'm pretty hopeful. I mean, we won't close a shelter unless people have somewhere to go. That's, I think, a very important message.
Absolutely.
We won't leave people to be displaced. But it is a big cleanup. You know, we still have roads closed in Auckland. And I think, you know, we've still got, I think it's 51 roads as of yesterday's count that are still fully closed, with a further 50 that have restrictions. That means that you can only go one way, or, you know, lanes are compromised or whatever. Now, mostly those are in the west and the rural north. And our Auckland Transport contractors are working really hard to open those. But, you know, it does, you know, everybody's out on the ground. Everyone's trying to get this done. And everyone, like you, is asking, when is it going to happen? And, you know, you just can't work to a timeline. It's just, yeah. It's about people and Mother Nature. And, you know, one is tangible and one is really difficult to assess.
One thing I do want to touch on with you, this is something that we really need to have a sort of dedicated conversation to, but there has been a very controversial budget pushed through by the Auckland Council. Obviously, stormwater's been a big focus of it, but I think something that's really caught the attention of our listenership is the really massive potential reductions to community services, which I think, you know, given the conversation we're currently having about the way community services in many different ways are supporting people through a crisis, but also support people through their everyday lives, why is this going to be such a big focus? We're seeing things like, you know, potential losses for things like the CAB, shorter library hours. We're seeing so much art in the city potentially removed. The list is really huge. What is this austerity budget? Why is this something that the council is even entertaining?
Well, first of all, the budget is a proposal, all right? It's a proposal. So what we're faced with right at the moment is a $295 million budget hole. And both the pandemic and the consequence of sort of inflation and interest rates had actually caused that. We knew it was going to be tough, but we didn't know it was going to quite be this bad. Now, you know, my personal belief is that we did a huge job in the previous council to fund that, but the financial environment and our ongoing loss of revenues that we rely on mean that we have to make some difficult choices. And by law, we have to balance the budget, all right? Now, the storm will only make this worse. I mean, in the budget, we've put aside $20 million for proactive storm response, but we know we probably need even more than that because the event hasn't finished. So there are two things from the budget, I suppose, and I'm happy to have a longer conversation with you at another time. But the first thing we want Aucklanders to tell us what they want to trade off, all right? If there are things in there that are looking to be cut, I mean, I don't, you know, there are things in there I don't agree with as well. But if there are things that they really want to keep and they don't want to trade those things off, where do they want to take the money from?
Now,
do they want...
There's an argument, though. There is an argument, perhaps, to be made that this idea of trading things off, this is all austerity conversation that we're having here.
Well,
this is a political discussion as well. I mean, why is it a trade-off? I know we've got this massive deficit, but why are we trading off these vital community things that make Auckland an important city to live in?
So I'm not saying those things have to be traded off. I'm saying if they are not and they stay, where would you get the money from? Where would you rather take it from? What other areas?
So you're saying that the public should be making that decision?
Well, we're asking for their opinion, because what's happened is that this proposal has been put together by, you know, the mayor put his proposal up, and I think pretty much every councillor around the table has got some issues with it that they don't like, you know. But at the end of the day, it's got to balance. How do you do it? You know, there are only so many levers: debt, revenue, assets, you know, selling assets. You know, a big one around us is the airport shares. That makes a big difference to us, you know, if we can sell those. I mean, that makes a huge difference to our borrowing capacity and helps with things. So, look, I'm a champion for Auckland, and I love things like the arts and sports, and I want to see those things thrive. But we need to have a reset to be able to keep supporting those things in the future. So we need all our organisations, including the big ones, like the museums and things that cost us a lot of money, to come to the party and work with us to solve these problems. And we are asking Aucklanders to have their say for a month, the 28th of February to the 28th of March.
28th of February, that's when people can have their say. Where do they go, Desley?
That's when we open for consultation, and it lasts for a month until the 28th of March. So it's a month. Now, we will be doing a lot of promotion, and as I said, I'm happy to come back with you and talk to you.
We'd love to have you back. Yeah. We'd love to have you back and have a proper chat about it. But just for the meantime, where do people go if they want to have their say on this?
There's a whole range of options. There'll be online, there'll be community meetings, they'll be able to just phone in. There will be a whole lot of options, and we'll put them all up on our council website, and we'll be promoting that.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Desley Simpson. It's been great to have you on the show. We'd love to have you back and have a proper chat about this budget at a future time, but we will talk to you later. Ka kite.
Thank you so much. Ka kite.